Ooh, hallelujah. Hello, hello, hello. Before I get started, Quinn, is Maya still? There you are. As Pastor Paul was praying, I had a real sense that the Lord was doing something in your lives. First of all, Quinn, the Lord showed me that as you've been promoted in the natural, you are being promoted in the spirit realm as well. And he is pouring out more and more grace onto your life. That is his enabling power to do what he's about to ask you to do. So you go to the Lord with that for confirmation. And Maya, I just sense that the Lord's going to be opening a door for you, and it's going to be different. It's going to be something that you might not have thought was going to open to you. You're not going to be sure, but the Lord just wants me to let you know that when you get the confirmation from him and from your mama, just walk with security and boldness through that door, okay? Okay, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, how y'all doing tonight? Good, good. Hallelujah. I'm so excited to be here once again. So honored, Pastor Barb, that you share your pulpit. And tonight, I'm going to be bringing a word that's kind of different from what I've been bringing. I've been doing a lot of preaching, just a little bit of teaching. This time, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to do a lot of teaching tonight, and possibly depending on how quickly or slowly we go through what he's given me, might be into the next time as well. So you might want to go ahead and get some paper and pens or whatever, but let's just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to sit at your feet, to learn from you, Holy Spirit. God, we all open our hearts, we open our understanding, and we open our spiritual ears to hear what you are going to be saying to us. In Jesus' name, we give you the honor and the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, you know, I'm so excited that Bishop now for a couple of times has been talking to our church about the supernatural. I've talked to you before about the supernatural. So has Pastor Barb and other people that have been up at the pulpit. And so if you haven't got the clue yet, God is going to bring the supernatural back into this house. And it's going to be for the winning of the lost, because we're going to be a big part of gathering the great harvest that's going to come in. And I'm excited. But, you know, the key to the supernatural is quick obedience. And that means that we have to be able to hear from God. We must hear from God. Now, I've had people say, oh, but God doesn't talk to me. He talks to Pastor Barb, and he talks to other people, but he doesn't talk to me. Well, I want to let you know that God isn't playing games with us, okay? He's not hiding from us, and he's certainly not keeping his voice for only certain elite people in the body of Christ, okay? In fact, how can you have any kind of relationship, let alone a relationship with Jesus, without there being a two-way conversation? If you're just doing all the talking, then it's not really a relationship, is it? You have to be able to hear and communicate back and forth with the Holy Spirit. Hearing God speak is not a hobby. It's not Oh, you know, if I feel like it, I might see if I can try to dabble in that a little bit. But no, it's not a hobby. You have an innate, which means inbred, inborn within you, an innate need to connect with the one that made you. He not only made you perfectly and beautifully and uniquely in his image and likeness, but he also created you with a place in your heart, which is called your spirit, that desires to communicate with him. Because that's why we were created, to have conversation. Do you remember back in Genesis where God said that he used to walk in the cool of the evening with Adam and Eve? Well, what do you think they were doing when they were walking? There wasn't just silence. They were communicating. They were talking. It was second nature to Adam and Eve to talk to God, because that's what he puts in them. And you know, sometimes we just overcomplicate God by being too spiritual. We separate things in our life and we say, well, God is interested in the spiritual part of my life, but this is the secular or physical side of my life, and I don't think he's interested in that. Well, can I tell you that because you are a born again child of God, and if you aren't, we're going to give you an opportunity to do so, but because you are born again, you are a spirit. Well, we're all a spirit. It's whether it's been made alive or if it's still dead, right? Our spirit is alive in Christ, but you are a spirit. Now, you have a body that you live in. You have a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, but you are a spirit created in the image and likeness of God. God is a spirit. So if you were created in his image, that means you are a spirit too, right? And so if you're a spirit, I hate to tell you, but everything in your life is spiritual. There is no such thing as secular and spiritual. I hear people talk about their jobs all the time that way. Well, I work in a secular job. No, you don't. Your job is as spiritual as Pastor Barb's job is. Because you are a spirit created in the image and likeness of God. The body of Christ has to get over this separation between what's spiritual and what isn't. Change your mindset. Your mindset is that you are a spirit. Say it with me. I am a spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. So if you're spiritual, everything is spiritual. And we need to ask God in every single area of our life. Don't keep things away from him thinking he's not interested in that, okay? Now, God is always speaking, always. He's a communicator. Actually, he is the word, right? He is the word. The word communicates. So he is always, always speaking. Our limitations are not greater than God's ability to speak to you. You say, well, I have this and I have that and this makes it hard for me to hear. No, God's ability is greater than anything that you lack or feel is a stumbling block. Okay, you can hear God's voice. The Bible says it, John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and a stranger's voice they will not listen to. I love the Message translation. It says, my sheep recognize my voice. So not only do you hear the voice, but you recognize it as your Father speaking to you. Isn't that so good? Now, to hear means to listen to understand. So we have to not only hear, but we have to understand what we're hearing, right? To attend closely, to heed, and I love this, to eavesdrop. You see, I used to think of it this way. God, the Trinity, I would picture living inside of me. And they're constantly having church. They're worshiping. They're talking to each other. They're telling each other the word. And I used to think all I have to do is tune in or eavesdrop on what they were saying to hear the voice of God. Now, that was just my way in the beginning of learning how to hear God's voice. So that was just the beginning. That was just the introduction. Now, we want to hear how do I hear from God? What are the steps to hearing God's voice? First and foremost, we have to submit to God's lordship in our lives. Well, what does that mean? What does that look like? That means we silence our own thoughts. We silence the thoughts of others. I know you never listen to what other people say, right, about you or about things of the Spirit. I know I have to silence people's thoughts all the time. That's always been a weakness in my life. I'm going to just be transparent with you because, you see, he created us all uniquely and differently. And so we all have different ways that we deal with things in our relationship with God. So you have to submit to his lordship by silencing your own thoughts, your own opinions, and the opinions of others. In fact, 2 Corinthians 10:2 says that what do we need to do to every thought that we have? We need to take it captive. And what? Bring it into obedience to Christ. What does that mean? If our thoughts that we're having are contrary to the word, contrary to the character and nature of God, then we have to get rid of it. We take it captive. We say, no, I'm not going to listen to this thought. This isn't from God. This doesn't align with the word of God. Then number two, the second thing you need to do to hear God's voice is silence the enemy. You know, there are two voices that are trying to talk to you. And one of them really, really wants you to listen to him because he wants to destroy you. And so if you listen to him and do what he says, you're going to go down a bad road. So you want to silence the voice of the enemy. Well, how do I do that? Well, James 4:7 says, you resist the devil and he will flee. In other words, you say no. No, devil. I love the Message says, yell aloud no to the devil. When I first got saved and found out about this, I can remember I was still had really little kids, and things got chaotic with three boys and a husband that was gone a lot because he traveled. And I would just get so frustrated and upset sometimes. Anybody else or just me? You guys get frustrated too, right? This isn't just me. Okay, good. Well, I would get so frustrated.
And I had a friend that had led me to the Lord. And she said, Sally, if you have to, you kick the devil out of your house. Well, this just goes to show how my young, immature mind thought. When things were getting really bad, I literally went to my front door, opened it up, and kicked the devil out. And that's okay. You can do that. If that's what is going to make things easier for you to silence the voice of the enemy, then you open your front door, you open your windows, you kick him out if you have to, however you have to do it. But you need to silence the voice of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Then number three, you have to listen. You have to be alert, and you have to be expecting. If you're not expecting to hear something, then that's probably what you'll hear is nothing, because you're not expecting anything, right? So this is a heart attitude. We have to go before the Lord. You know, I remember when the Lord said to me one day, you don't really want to hear what I have to say. Who, me? Oh, Lord, I love you so much. I want to hear what you have to say. But it was a heart check time for me. God was laying open my heart before me and letting me see what was going on inside of me and why there was a barrier between he and I. It was because I really didn't want to hear what he said. You know, sometimes we pray things and we know what's God's going to say. We know he's going to say no because what we're asking for either isn't lining up with the word of God, or it's something that we know we shouldn't be asking for, or whatever it is. God said, you don't want to hear what I have to say. When in reality, in my heart, I knew what he was going to say. But he was right. I didn't want to hear him. I didn't want to hear him say no. I used to put my fingers on my ears and go, la, 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 so I wouldn't hear God. I'm telling you the truth. I'm laying out there my relationship with the Lord with you just so that hopefully it will help you know that hearing from the Lord can be just that easy. It can be just that elementary. Sometimes we have to go back to the beginning and remember how simple. I love Pastor Paul always says this. It's simple. It's simple. It's not that hard. So, do you really want to hear? Then number four, don't harden your heart. Well, Sally, how do you harden your heart? By resisting the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know the promptings of the Holy Spirit. You know when he's trying to get something across. You definitely know when you're doing something wrong, right? And so you can feel those promptings. You can either listen to them or you can resist them. But Hebrews 3:15 says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, as in the rebellion. In other words, cover to cover, rebellion against the Lord, right? We read it over and over and over. It was as simple as God said this, and they said no. God said that, and they said maybe. But no. I mean, even when they started out to do it, they ended up not doing it. And that's how they hardened their heart against the Lord. So don't harden your hearts. And number five, and this is really important, so we're going to elaborate on this a little bit. Practice hearing God's voice. Practice. Just like anything else that you have to learn and grow in, we have to practice hearing God's voice. And I believe that doesn't stop because we reach a certain maturity in Christ. Because we have other things that we deal with in our lives. And we do have that rotten devil that's trying to get us not to hear God or not to obey God. So you have to continue to practice God's voice. Probably the best portion of scripture that talks about that is 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 to 10. And that's the story of when Samuel was given to the priest, like his mother Hannah said he would do if she had a son. She would give him over to the priest that he could be raised in the house of God and eventually become a priest himself. Well, he was just a boy, but I love this. In 1 Samuel 3, verse 1, it says in the very beginning, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord." That's what he did. He ministered to the Lord. What does that mean? He spent time with him. He spent time worshiping him. That's how we minister to the Lord, by the way, is worshiping him. There is nothing that thrills him more than when one of his kids worships him, especially if they're going through a bad place in their life. Because how many know that's the easiest time it is to turn away from God? Because we think, well, he's not doing anything for me. And we don't know anything. We don't know anything. God's always busy behind the scenes working on our behalf for our best. That's who God is. He's good all the time. All the time. Even when you're going through bad things, God is good, which means he's working behind the scenes on your behalf. And so little Samuel was ministering to the Lord by spending time with him. Let me tell you, you know the voice of those you spend the most time with. When I call my husband on the telephone, I don't have to say to him, "Hi, this is Sally." In fact, that sounds kind of weird. No. What do I say? "Hi, hon." And he knows right away who it is. Why? Because I've known him since I was 14 years old. I have spent time with him. We've been married over 51 years. We've spent time together. Yeah, I know we're old, but we've spent a lot of time together. And so he recognizes my voice right away, and vice versa. I recognize his too. And it's the same way with God. You spend a lot of time with him, you're eventually going to immediately recognize his voice. You're going to know the voice of your father. In fact, you know, he might, just like we have little pet names for each other, God will begin to talk to you that way. I know I'm not just the only one, because I know other people that have had the same thing happen. But I know when God, when I first started hearing from God, he used to call me his little one. Now, there's a whole story behind that, and someday if you want to know, come and ask me. But there's a reason why that was so precious to me. And the first time he did, I bawled my eyes out. But he still, to this day, all these decades later, he will still, in my heart, say, "Hey, little one," to me. Because we have a relationship that's long-standing, and comfortable. We can be with each other that way. Now, the second part of hearing God's voice, practicing hearing God's voice, is praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says that when we pray in tongues, in our personal prayer language, we are speaking mysteries from our spirit. You see, when we pray in tongues, the mysteries of God, the hidden truths that he has, you know, all through his word. I didn't bother writing these scriptures down, but you can look them up. It says that God desires to tell us his mysteries. It says that his mysteries are saved up for us and that we can freely hear them. Well, one of the ways of practicing that is praying in the Spirit. And when you pray in the Spirit, you know, you can also ask the Lord for an interpretation. And sometimes he'll give it to you. I remember one day I was praying just so earnestly in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, my prayer language changed, and it sounded like another dialect or something. It actually sounded Chinese, and I don't know one word of Chinese. And so I said to the Lord, what is going on? Can you show me? What am I praying? And don't you know, the Lord gave me a picture of an Asian woman with tears pouring down her face on her knees before God. Whatever she was praying, I was agreeing with her. I was agreeing and praying God's perfect will for her. Isn't that exciting? If y'all don't do that, you need to. If you haven't been baptized or filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, you need to. You need to come up to us and those of us on the prayer team or whoever you want that you know speaks in other tongues and get them to lay hands on you and release your prayer language because it's that important. And the third thing that we need to be aware of practicing hearing God's voice is be consistent in following the promptings that you hear. As you're consistent in obeying those promptings, they'll become clearer and clearer and clearer. I've heard it said, if you want to hear God speak twice, obey him once. If you want to hear God speak twice, obey him once. And one of the things that I love to say it so much that a girl that was in the church that we pastored put it on a throw pillow for me, and I still have it to this day on my bed, and that is, obedience is the key that unlocks every door in the kingdom of God. You having a hard time getting through a door? You obey God. You obey God. Obedience will get you to the next step and to the next level. Disobedience will keep you right where you are. God wants instant obedience. I know about you, I used to tell my boys when I tell them to do something and they wouldn't do it. Well, I'm getting around to it. I'm going to do it. Yeah, it's about instant obedience. When I say I want you to do something, I want you to do it now, not next week. I want it done now. But mom, nope, instant obedience. And how many know when you're training your children that way, they're going to learn how to react and respond to their Heavenly Father? How else are they going to learn? If they don't learn obedience to their earthly parents, they're going to have a hard time learning obedience to their heavenly Father. So you have to be obedient. Now, what's the number one question everybody has about hearing from God? Well, how do I know if it's me? How do I know if it's God? How do I know if it's the devil? Right? Well, you can very clearly and easily know. This isn't a mystery. This isn't one of the mysteries that you're trying to open. This is really pretty simple, actually. Number one, our own thoughts that we have. How do I know if it's not me? Our own thoughts will never take us higher into faith. You see, we know too much. They're full of past knowledge and emotions. And so they'll never take you into faith. If anything, they'll discourage you. Okay? Number two, Satan lies and contradicts Scripture. And he tempts us to betray God's word. He accuses us. You know, Revelations 12:10 says that he's the accuser of the brethren. He stands before the Father, accusing us. Well, did you see what Sally did? And did you see how she handled that situation in her marriage? And did you see how she fell down here and didn't do what she was supposed to do? That's when you know it's the devil, because God doesn't accuse you. God will come, and yes, he will gently convict you, but right away, you will feel loved. You won't feel like, oh, the paddle's coming out. The paddle's coming out. That's the devil. He's the one that makes you feel like you need it. I was the one that was the first to grab the whip out of Satan's hands and hit myself over the back with it. That was the way I was for many, many, many years. It took a long time to get out of that mindset. We're talking about mindsets. If you missed it, go back and look at Pastor Paul's series on mindset. It was so good. We need to have the right mindsets to be able to hear the voice of the Lord so that we can move in the supernatural. You know, I said instant obedience. Well, if God tells you to go up to somebody, lay hands on them, and you don't know what's going to happen, and if you delay and don't be obedient, then you've missed an opportunity. God might have wanted to slay them in the spirit right there and instantly get them saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and speaking in tongues all in 1 second. Now, that's supernatural. And I've seen that happen. And it's going to happen here. And greater things than that are going to happen here, too. My Lord, I get so excited when I think about it. What's coming to this house? Amen. What is coming to this house? God's Spirit is just hovering, kind of like the clouds in a storm hover. And let me tell you, when it releases, ooh, I got goosebumps all over me. Anyway, Satan lies, he contradicts Scripture, he tempts us to betray God's word, and he accuses us. Number three, God's voice, on the other hand, will always bring peace. It will always bring reassurance. It will always align with Scripture. It has clarity, wisdom, and understanding that's above our own understanding and knowledge. You're going to hear him say things that you're going to go, oh, wow, that's really good. Because it's not something you would have thought yourself. In fact, you can ask Mark. This is how I know when God's telling me to do something. Because it's something I never would have thought of. That's one of the basic ways you know when God's telling you what to do. Because you certainly wouldn't have thought of it. And so know that God's understanding and wisdom and his clarity, he will make things clear to you. Now, you heard me give a word to Quinn and for Maya earlier. Now, what did I say? I said, go to the Lord. Why do they need to go to the Lord? Because he's the one that'll bring clarity. I don't know a thing, especially about their lives. I don't. And so if they're going to get clarity, they have to go to the Lord. And that's how you're going to get clarity as well. Number four, you have to ask yourself two questions. Very, very important. Number one, is it scriptural? Does it align with the Word of God? And number two, will it lead people towards Jesus or away from them? Those are the two most important questions to keep in your mind when you're discerning the voice of the Lord. God will never contradict his word, never, ever, ever contradict his word, and he will always push you towards Jesus, closer and closer towards Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, the way God speaks, it's not spooky. I think people get afraid. I really do. Because there have been so many loony things out there that have been taught or displayed to people that have, quite frankly, been spooky. I wouldn't want to have anything to do with any of that. But God isn't spooky. And so the most common way that he speaks to us is the still, small voice. That's the way he mostly speaks to us. And I want to read Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30, 21. It says, and your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. So he's giving you direction. And it says, you will hear him. So don't say, I didn't hear him. He was speaking, you just weren't listening. Because sometimes the still small voice is just that. It's so small that you have to really lean in to hear. So what's the answer to that? Stay leaning in. Don't stop leaning in. You know, he doesn't say, listen and then take a break. He's always talking. So we should always be listening, right? You say, well, I got to sleep. Yeah, but we'll get to that. He even talks to us in our sleep. Okay? So number two, of course, God's word. God's word is always the supreme authority. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world or this age. I love the Amplified. Fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the renewal of your mind so that you may prove, not only just know, but prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that good? So God's word, if you know God's word, you know God's will. So I don't know about you, but I get the creeps when I hear people say, well, God will heal me if it's his will. I just grind my teeth. And then I try to give a gentle word. But if you read the Bible every time, even one place, they said, if it's your will, you can heal me. And what happened? He said, it is my will. And he healed him. Well, he's not a respecter of persons. If it was his will to heal him, it's his will to heal you. So we get his word from his word, the word of God. Number three, his peace. And oh, I love this scripture. Colossians 3:15. And I am reading it out of the Amplified. It says, let the peace, which is the soul harmony, soul, our mind, will, and emotions, that's where our peace is disturbed. Up here. Let the peace, the soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule and act as umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your mind. Isn't that awesome? How do I know if it's God? I've got all these questions. Let peace umpire. Let them be the ones to tell you. Let peace be the one to tell you what is God's will when you have decisions to make. Don't ever do anything if you don't have the peace of God. There have been so many times in my life where everything, even in the natural, even the circumstances just lined up, and I didn't have any peace. And as much as I wanted it really bad, but I couldn't do it because God's peace was not on it. That's how you hear from God. Number four, the gifts of the Spirit manifestations that are seen in 1 Corinthians 12, just like you saw tonight when Pastor Paul was praying over the worship team, or when I had the word for Quinn and Amaya. These are manifestations of the Spirit that the Bible talks about. But again, they should always confirm what the person has already heard from the Lord. And if they haven't heard it from the Lord yet, then they need to go to the Lord. Or they need to put that word on a shelf in their life and every once in a while bring it down and ask the Lord again. Because sometimes he'll tell you things years ahead of time. And you think, well, that word wasn't from God. And before you know it, guess what? There it is. So God will use those manifestations, but it's 2 Corinthians 13:1 says it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses that every word is confirmed. So you've got the person giving it, you've got yourself, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you've probably got people in your life like your parents or a best friend or your pastors or whatever that's going to confirm that word. And can I just say that it's really dangerous to want other people to hear God for you. I unfortunately see that going on a lot in the body of Christ, running from prophetic conference to prophetic conference, right? Why? Because they want other people to hear from God for them.
at the price of possibly seeming uncaring, I'm going to say it's because of laziness. Well, moving on. That's not the present day ministry of a prophet. Can I just say that? Okay. Number five, those in authority. Ephesians 6, 1 to 3 talks about parents. Hebrews 13, 17 talks about spiritual leadership, the pastors, the people that are in leadership over you, elders. Romans 13, 1 talks about government. Now that kind of can give you the creeps right now. I'm sorry, but it does. But God puts people in office and takes them out. And we have to remember that. So we do have to listen to the laws of the land. I'm going to go over these last ones really quickly because I'm running out of time. And then we will do part two next month or whenever. Okay? Number six, godly counsel. Proverbs 12, 15 says that sometimes we think we know what's best, but it's really good to get godly counsel. Okay. Number seven, I know you need to sleep, but God talks to us in dreams and visions. Genesis 28, 12 is the dream that Jacob had about the ladder and the angels ascending and descending on the ladder while he was sleeping. He had that. In Acts 16, 9, Paul had a vision of a Macedonian man came before him in this vision and said, come over here, help us. We need help. And then number eight, angels. Now, don't get weird, but God does speak through angels. How many here have ever seen an angel? Oh, not very many of you. I thought there would be more. I have seen an angel only three different times, and they were very big, very large. They don't usually talk to me, though. And I think that's kind of an exception rather than a rule. However, an angel talked to Peter in the vision in Acts 10 when that big square piece of cloth came down with all the food on it. And the angel said to him, eat this. And he went, I'm not eating that. I'm a Jew. I can't eat that stuff. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, yeah, I've made it clean. You go ahead and eat. So occasionally, angels do still speak. Number nine, then there's miraculous manifestations of the supernatural. Now, I haven't seen any of these. Maybe some of you have. I would love to talk to you if you have. But there's things like Balaam's donkey talking, the burning bush never being consumed, Ichabod being written on the wall by the hand of God, things like that. Then the very last one that I'm going to close with, next time we're going to start in with hindrances to hearing God's voice. Okay? Give you a little teaser. But the very last one, and I think the most rare, really, aside from manifestations, I guess they're kind of hand in hand, is the audible voice of God. I mean, I think I heard the voice of God one time, the audible voice of God. But I say I think because the further away in time it gets, I'm questioning whether it really was or not. I know I shouldn't, but there you have it. I told you, anytime I'm up here, I'm going to be very transparent with you because I want you to see how my relationship with God is so that you might think, well, good grief, if he can do it for her, he might can do it for me too, okay? So
I want you to know that things that I know you're probably experiencing in your life that you're not telling anybody because you're ashamed of, or you feel bad, or you don't want people to know that you don't know what's going on, okay? That's why I'm transparent up here. I figure at my stage of life, who cares who knows what goes on? I really don't care, right? I don't care what y'all think. I know Jesus calls me his little one, and that's all I need to know. And my husband calls me love, so that's all I need, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy this? Okay, praise God. Well, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this time that you've given us. Lord, as we go tonight, I ask that these things will be written upon our hearts, and so that you'll remind us, Holy Spirit, to practice the things that we're learning, that we don't just write them down and shove them away in our Bible and forget about them, but Lord, let us practice them. Let us become fluent in our conversation with you. And Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus in a personal way, you don't have that kind of relationship, or maybe you're watching by camera tonight, I want to give you that opportunity. I just want you to pray a simple prayer. There's that word simple again, Pastor Paul. A simple prayer saying, Jesus, I am sorry that I have sinned and broken your heart. But Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, that you are my Savior. And I ask you to forgive my sins and to save me tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. It's that easy. You've given him the driver's seat, and you're not going to take it back, right? You're not going to be a backseat driver, because you're going to listen to him and you're going to be instantly obedient. Amen. Amen. Well, yes. Yes.
So I know that this word really ministered to a number of you in this room, and you're still wondering, well, how do I know? And I want you to know we're going to be here after service. We want to pray with you. We really do. One of the most profound things I think I've ever learned in my walk with Christ, especially in the beginning, and I'm talking to some of you beginning people, and I think there's even a couple people in here that are struggling with, I don't know if I heard this from God or not. Now, we're here to help you. But if you're in the infancy stages of this, just know that whatever you're going to finally decide, this is the voice of God in my life, just trust it. Just trust that word. Well, what if it's the wrong thing? And here's the answer to that. If it's the wrong thing, what's going to happen is you're going to be standing here, you hear the voice of the Lord, or you think you did, right? And then you're going to slowly start to move in this direction. And what will happen is you'll either get a yes or a no as you start to do this by faith. It's not by what you know. All the times it's by faith. But one of the things I've learned is if I get here and I hear no, I'm in a brand new place with a brand new perspective that I could not see when I was where I started. And what God will do is he'll show you something else. Remember the scripture, beyond anything you could ask or think? All of a sudden, you'll look over here, and it's like, oh my goodness, there it is. And you'll know. You'll know. So just honor God with your faith. But if you need prayer tonight, we're going to be up here. We want to pray for you. We want you filled with the Holy Spirit. We want you to know that you're hearing the voice of God. We want you to know that you can step out by faith, and you can begin to allow God to use you that way. So the gifts of the Spirit are without repentance. You have to remember that. There's a scripture that says that. And so when you start to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you're not always knowing what you're doing. And that's why they are without repentance. You begin to walk just like you did in your walk with Christ. You begin to take those steps by faith. And I'm just saying, don't worry about whether you're going to misstep. Just focus on, am I in faith? Do I have peace about taking these next steps? And just slowly start to take those steps. The Lord will illuminate your path. And where you see darkness, you'll know to look. And I promise you this much. And if you haven't been here before, I challenge all of you to get there. Once you get to that place and it's a no, you start to look around. And I'm telling you, the perspective that you'll have will be brand new. You'll be transformed by that power. So anyway, if you need prayer, we'll be up here.
Thank you. That was so good. You know, as he was talking about that, I thought to myself, some of us trust the GPS in our cars or on our phones more than we trust God. We trust that our GPS, if we turn the wrong way, will reroute and put us the way we should be going. And not only will God do that, but he'll give you extra, like Pastor Paul said. So God bless you. We will see you on Sunday morning.